hemp. Thank you so much for letting me talk and your time. So basically, it sounds like you guys have a problem with minors smoking weed. Totally understand. We have this thing called Saturday Market every Saturday. it brings people, progressives, radicals, lefties. People, there's minor smoking weed there. We're not doing anything to shut it down. There's illegal events there. We're not going to shut that down. Hempfest is a tradition. It's progressive. Portland is progressive. We have activists like Jack Herrera, Linus Pauly. We're grassroots. We need to keep it grassroots. So basically, we don't want minors smoking weed there. We want to protect our civil rights, practice the our constitutional rights, and end prohibition of hemp and cannabis. One of our brothers was talking about money. If we have 80,000 people coming next September, it's going to bring jobs. You think all those people are just going to go to the waterfront and just hang out? No, they're going to go to the mall. They're going to buy shoes. They're going to consume. We need money for the state, and we open this door for hemp stock to come back to the city. We're going to start creating revenue, and we don't need to be up in the woods hiding. Marijuana is a taboo. It's Colorado. We just legalized it. People are buying cannabis. We need state revenue. We need to get the special interests to open the door to legalize hemp and cannabis. We need to put people back to work. Coal and fossil fuel is just keeping people broke. We're not putting the working class into the middle class with fossil fuel and coal. So we need to practice our constitutional rights and our freedom at HempFest and be progressives, because we're Portland. Portland, that's why we're here. We came here to be Portland, to be progressive, to be liberals, to be radicals. We need to practice our constitutional freedoms and rights. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks. Hi.
Hi, Council. My name is Jordan Jimenez. I'm the petition coordinator for the Campaign for Restoration and Regulation of Hemp. Myself and hundreds of thousands of volunteer petitioners came out to the event to be able to bring to the light that cannabis legalization is something that we want to work towards. Hemp stock has really given us an outlet to reach out to so many people in the community to get this message out. We received hundreds and thousands of signatures in support of our initiatives. And that was because we gathered so many young people, minors included, to be inspired into putting their voice into action. There's going to be minors doing illegal activity everywhere. You can go outside, and it's right there in front of you. If that's all we're basing this off of, then we should literally cancel every single festival that you can think of. But as far as I'm concerned, I don't think I've ever seen Brewfest inspire so many people to collectively exercise their voice and to put their signature on something that they believe in. So that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you.
How's it going, Council?
Good.
Thank
Welcome.
You for your time. My name is Chris Abrahamson. I'm the outreach director with the Campaign for the Restoration and Regulation of Hemp. I was at last year's hemp stock, and interestingly enough, the picture that they chose to display that there were minors using substances at hemp stock was actually right on the very edge of the Campaign for the Restoration and Regulation of Hemp booth that I was at, if you were there with me. In fact, my six-year-old daughter was there right next to me, also my newborn and my wife. Interestingly enough, right after that picture, I'm sure, was taken, after they had pulled out the paraphernalia and so forth, I turned back over and I said to those people in the picture, hey, this is absolutely a family event. My kids are right here. And in fact, we're working for something really important. Could you either move that out? I'm not the security person. I was like, could you just move that out of there? And they quickly moved. Interestingly enough, the picture that they described, the illegal marijuana use, I was actually right there with my child. And we felt completely safe the entire time.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, others?
The next three are Justin Woolsey, Lightning, and Stephen Weston, I believe is the last name. And they'll be followed by Joe Walsh and Michael Billingsley.
Okay. Hi, welcome. First. Okay. Go ahead, Lightning.
Oh, okay. My name is Lightning. I don't smoke marijuana, and legalizing it can go either direction for me as far as what the general public wants to do. They have every right to do that. One of the problems I have being here is that I think this group has a right to that permit. And they have a right to the permit like anyone else does, like the Blues Festival. They have a right to maybe do some things differently, maybe use some of the ideas from the Blues Fest as far as on security, garbage control, maybe look at that and use some of their ideas and work that into their plan. But they have that right like anybody else. There's a tremendous amount of people that will be coming to this event, and we have to look at it also from the city. We're going to be losing a lot of money because we're not going to allow this event to take place. And for the public, is that good or bad? Now, they have stated that, of course, they don't want minors smoking marijuana, and I agree. There needs to be other things implemented, more security measures taken to prevent that. It's not an easy situation to try to prevent, but they have shown here today that they're willing to look at different ways to get the job done, and they have said they need more parking. They said they need an area that they can have better control of, and that's what they're asking to do. So why should they be denied this permit and everyone else can have their events out here that have alcohol, that have problems, and they're trying to pull up the data to substantiate that there are other problems out there, drug use, fights, and other events. But does that stop them from getting the permit year after year, or do you look at the overall dollar amount and then pick and choose who you want to give that permit to? Because I feel they're being singled out. I feel you're trying to set precedent by singling them out, and I think it's not right to do that. They have every right to get that permit, every right to have people try to sign their initiatives, every right to be down on the waterfront park and to do what they want to do in a reasonable, safe manner, and to try to stay within all the laws within this city and the codes that are very difficult to do, but they've made every indication that they're willing to try to work out a plan and try to do that. So to deny this permit is, to me, would be outrageous. Thank you.
Hi, I'm Dustin Woolsey. I've never been to town council, but you know what? I just came here today to voice my opinion on this.
Welcome.
Because I've been to the Hemp Festival one time last year here in Oregon. Every year in Washington, I go to the Hemp Festival to have a good time, you know? I think they should continue the Hemp Festival here in Oregon. But the problem is, it's illegal to have marijuana in Oregon. It's not legal. In Washington, it's legal to have marijuana. But the thing with that is there's just, like people say, there's too much drinking, there's too much drug use, underage drinking, and underage sale to minors of illegal substances, such as alcohol, weed, or whatever else, you know? And that's not cool. And then the trash that's left over, the after effects of the festival is just everywhere, just trashed out. You know what I'm saying? If we can go into city ordinance and have more security, on-ground security, help deal with those issues, I think the Hemp Festival should continue if we had more security to take care of the issue of the leftover debris, and possibly maybe go green and recycle all the leftover debris and help the homeless, because I am a homeless youth, and I'm 19, been on the streets most of my life in Washington and Oregon, you know, and that's just not cool to just toss out cans and bottles that are just trash, you know, but we use those cans and bottles to help pay for our, you know, our needs as homeless people, you know, and then people drinking and smoking, that's just not cool to do that at an event like that, you know what I'm saying? And then all the minors coming in, oh yeah, it's a place to get free dope or free booze, you know, that's not what it's about. It's about the peaceful and the peacefulness and the safety and the legal right of the U.S. citizen to host an event to say, look, I'm free to do, let's have something to do, have a gathering and say we're cool, you know, in safe manner and respect people to do what they want to do in a legal, right, legit way. You know what I'm saying? That's cool. But it's just like people take advantage of that, and that's just not cool. You know what I'm saying? If we can come together with a plan with the Portland police and the Portland medical teams to find a safe way to organize this event, it'd be really helpful to see this event one more year here in Oregon. I mean, I love that event over in Washington because I've done it every year. Last year, I seen it here in Oregon, and there was just so much stuff that went wrong in Oregon. It was just outside of the event and in the event itself. Outside the event, there was just minors that were gaining access to alcohol, weed, dope, and a bunch of trash, you know. But in the event, there was street fights. There was low security. There was people that were just derogatory and disrespectful. And it was just not cool, you know what I'm saying? And people would just blow everybody off and cause problems. I'm against that. But hosting the event, I would love to see this event be hosted if we could do it in a safe way, in a positive, peaceful way to help the community earn money and respect for the homeless people that live in this area and Clark County and Washington for that matter too. Help the homeless recycle all the used bottles and cans and, you know, have a gathering to say we're free to be who we are as America's citizens.
Great. Thank you. Thanks very much. Thanks.
Thank you. My name is Steve Wessing. I'm the stage manager of the Hemp Stock. I have been since the first year. I would like to state for the record that we made announcements from the stage regularly that sale of marijuana is not allowed at our event, and that if you are caught selling marijuana at our event, you will be ejected. And in fact, as was stated earlier, many people were ejected for violating those policies. And I take great exception with the denial letter saying that we were willfully ignoring such things, because that is simply not the case. I personally made that announcement on more than a dozen occasions. Also, as to the use of marijuana by minors, I did not see that occur from my vantage point on the stage. I saw thousands of people there, and yes, a few of them exercised what could be considered their right to civil disobedience in their use of marijuana in public. However, I don't feel that it's our place as an event to tell people how to express their views. On the other hand, we did tell them that it is not the policy of the event to express their views in that way, and that if they did so, they did so at their own risk and without the permission or the approval of the event. And also, I would like to say personally that yes, that medical marijuana use by children is something that we support. And in fact, we had a speaker there. Her name is Michaela, and I hope that you will look her up online, who has beaten leukemia by using medical marijuana as directed by the OMMP. And in that respect, yes, marijuana use by minors is in fact condoned by myself and by the expression expressly approved by the staff and volunteers of Hempstock. But unapproved, unauthorized, non-medical use is not, and we did not allow or condone any of that use.
Wow.
The last two who signed up are Joe Walsh and Michael Billingsley.
Come on up. Go ahead, Joe.
My name is Joe Walsh. I represent Individuals for Justice. And Commissioner Fritz, please tell me that I misunderstood you saying that you have already made up your mind. before one person testified today when you said something similar, and I'm paraphrasing, that I support the decision of the Parks Department. Did you say that?
Yep.
Okay. It is really annoying to us who come here and take our time to testify when an official makes a statement that we know that we cannot override because they've already made up their mind, and it's annoying. And I want to say for the record, I have never been to Hempfest. I don't smoke marijuana. I don't know this group. I am here only because in my 41 years of activism, I have never asked for a permit. Never. And I don't like them. But if you have a group that comes before you and asks for a permit and you say no, you violate the Constitution of the United States. You violate. I know you're from Britain. We have the Bill of Rights, Commissioner. It's the First Amendment. Let me read it to you. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibition the free exercise thereof or a breach of freedom of speech or the press or the right of a people to peacefully to assemble and to petition the government for redress of grievances. It's the First Amendment there, Commissioner. Read it.
I am Mr. Walsh, I am an American citizen. I took a test on that in order to become an American citizen.
You are a disgrace as an American citizen.
And in response...
You are a disgrace.
Enough.
If I am...
I know, I'm out of order.
You are.
But you're out of order.
Mr. Walsh...
Man, the damn...
You made the point.
Get him. Mr. Walsh...
Oh, my God, that was... Oh,
okay.
Yeah, go home.
Joe, you made your point.
Okay. Okay,
folks, it probably helps make the case better when people don't yell. Just saying. Go ahead.
Yell, this is an outrage!
Joe, take it outside. Go ahead.
Hi, my name is Michael Billingsley. I'm a medical marijuana patient, and regarding safety and security, we had more than ample security, and the safety of children and guests at Hempstock is one of our first and foremost things that we value. And me being a disabled person who has to walk, you know, a couple of miles up the road, up to Kelly Point Park, and other people that have conditions similar to mine, it's not... It's really against HIPAA law for me to have to go that far. There's no reason that we should not have it at Waterfront Park. We have accessibility to transportation, proper garbage pickup, and just it's our civil right. You know, I should be able to medicate in a manner that I need to for my pain. I shouldn't have to go to pain clinics and take 35 pills a day. Right now, I'm 3 years narcotic free, thanks to the OMMP laws here, and I will continue to fight for my rights as a citizen and as a patient and. And regarding minors with medical marijuana, I firmly support marijuana use for minors for their medical conditions to treat, just like any other medication that they can get. There's no reason that we shouldn't be able to go to our primary care doctors and them sign off on a medical marijuana card. But taking that to another stance, we as citizens shouldn't have to get a medical marijuana card to safely medicate and treat our conditions. And that's all I have to say.
All right, thank you. Thanks very much.
To be clear, I very much support medical marijuana and was part of that. Also, Mayor, for the record, I need to point out that I'm the commissioner in charge of Parks and Recreation. I wouldn't have brought this appeal to council had I not supported their denial.
Thank you. Others that are signed up, or is that it?
That's all who signed up.
So what we have next in the order is maybe is for the Police Bureau and for Park Security, but we've already heard from Art, so I'm not sure, Art, if you need to speak more, but Captain Davis is here, so to get your testimony. And then we'll see if there are anyone here to speak against the appeal, or actually in favor of the application. So I'm sorry, go ahead, against the application. Go ahead, Captain Davis.
Good afternoon. I'm Chris Davis. I'm a captain with the Portland Police Bureau assigned to North Precinct. And we looked at this event in our after-action review process from a public safety perspective pretty much exclusively, because that's our mission in the Police Bureau. For this event this year, we assigned out of our own budget 7 North Precinct officers, 1 sergeant, and 1 officer from our traffic division for a total overtime cost of $10,986. What our officers reported back to us from this event was that there were a number of issues that caused them concern. Our instructions to the officers working at this event were not to take enforcement action on violation level issues around use of marijuana, alcohol, or any low-level non-criminal sorts of violations. Our priority really was just to help manage the event with very limited resources, and it was not our priority to enforce marijuana laws. Some of the things the officers saw that caused us concern were, and a lot of this is going to echo what Parks has already said, but the public use of marijuana and alcohol in the permit area, and there was no OLCC permit for alcohol service or consumption. The use of drugs or alcohol near children, the use of drugs or alcohol by minors, the open sale of marijuana, medical issues resulting from apparent overconsumption of alcohol and or drugs, including at least 1 overdose in the permit area. No apparent attempt to identify or exclude minors from entering the event, and no apparent effort by event staff or security to prevent people from drinking alcohol or smoking marijuana in the park. At one point, there was a report made to us of a disturbance in which someone stole some glassware from one of the booths and was attacked by several other people associated with one or more of the booths, and this apparently was reported to us that this did not stop even after security arrived. Event staff who appeared to be under the influence of marijuana, including 1 staff member who was observed smoking marijuana by our officers. There was a report of a missing 17-year-old who did not come home from the event, who was found at 7 o'clock the next morning in the Expo Center parking lot. There was a theft of money from a donation box at the front gate. There were some security officers contracted for by the organizers who were found not to possess valid DPSST certifications in violation of Oregon law. Event organizers were reported to us to have repeatedly told security to stop checking people at the entrance for illegal substances. Outside the event, we responded to a motorcycle crash involving a rider who had consumed marijuana at the event, by his statement. And there was a report from security of an event organizer telling people they could openly smoke marijuana in the park. And this year's event was not an outlier. Officers have observed similar issues at previous Hempstock events, including an overdose at 1 event at Kelly Point Park that required Life Flight to respond to transport the victim to the hospital. So from a public safety perspective, our biggest concerns about this event as it has happened in the past are the potential for drug overdoses, disturbances and fights, the traffic and parking issues surrounding the area, including the misuse of private property, inadequately certified security personnel, impaired driving, consumption of drugs near and by juveniles. I'll address briefly a couple issues that came up about the after-action process for us to maybe help people's understanding. That's an internal review document, and as a public safety agency, one of our priorities as law enforcement. So I, in reviewing that after action, I didn't find anything unusual that one of our sergeants pointed out and one of our lieutenants pointed out that there was activity reported at this event that's in violation of Oregon law. That doesn't translate into our, necessarily translate into an official position about what the law should be or anything like that, but that is common for us in our role as law enforcement to point out violations of the law at events that we observe. So with that, I brought Officer Anthony Zoller here, who was present at the event this year. He's one of the officers assigned to that. He's from our neighborhood response team at North Precinct, and he can respond to any specific questions you have about the officer's observations.
I'm not sure if I have any, but I guess I don't know if you want to add anything else, but I guess I do have a proportionality question here, and that is, it's been raised already in testimony, and that is, we have, you know, over the course of a summer, typically we have a number of gatherings in the city that are 50, 60, 80,000 people. This is one of them. Most of them are actually in Waterfront Park, as we actually set the park up, you know, for that kind of use. How do the incidents of law breaking or harm, you know, whether it's physical or property damage, people overdosing, people getting drunk and hurting themselves, how does this one compare to other events where 50, 60, 80,000 people are gathered together?
It does not compare favorably. And for us to, it would be an exercise to go back and pull up data, but just in my own experience from having spent a few years working those kind of events at Central Precinct, we don't typically see the magnitude of the issues that we have at this event at other events in Waterfront Park in the summer.
Mayor, can I?
Yeah, please.
Let me clarify
you're in the business
well, because,
of doing this for the Parks Bureau,
because
too.
Because
so.
I think that we see other issues. Central to Hempstock is the relationship with the organizers to manage the event and security. And I think what is concerning to us is, yes, Kelly Point Park has some challenges. Every park has challenges from a security standpoint, and that's why through the permitting process we have those conversations. So to answer your question, are there other issues at other events? Yes. When the police or park security go to those event organizers and say, listen, we have to problem solve for whatever element or whatever issue is, my feeling is that we get greater cooperation and recognizing that we have freedom of speech events in other parks as well. And the balance between being able to provide that space and that time, as well as the other measures within the Constitution. Every citizen has the right to come to a park and feel safe and secure. Every parent has the right to know, as a father of a 14-year-old child, that if my son goes to a park, he's not going to be encouraged. And if he is there, I expect that the permittee has some obligation to say to that young person that that's not allowable. So within this event, what we have challenges and the reason we've come to is that we don't feel that the organizers of this event have agreed to the things that are in a security plan. And one of the things that they state in the security plan is that this is an alcohol, cannabis, and other drugs are prohibited at the event. And they have not taken the measures from what rangers have observed and I think from what police have observed to enforce that basic rule. So if it's an issue at Waterfront with other events, yes, we have issues. But when we go to those permittees and we say we need to deal with this, we get a much greater responsiveness and an ownership that if they need to have additional security or if they need additional support from the police, that those measures are taken.
Okay. Other questions for the security team here?
I have one question about the sort of language in one of the officers' report about the most of the trash was cleaned up, but after the trash was removed, it was still prevalent. I mean, I don't think it was one of you who wrote that report, but I was just curious as to what, that does seem to be slightly contradictory.
It does, yes. I mean, I in reviewing that, I had to just take that at face value. And the other thing, just in my review of these events, trash in the park is less of an issue for the police than it is for the Parks Bureau. So that's not something that, you know, in our role as public safety concerns us as much.
And what's your reaction to, I'm sorry, I forget the gentleman's name, who was for the appellants, who was saying that he was responsible for security and he personally expelled people, including a vendor who was selling to a minor. What's your reaction to hearing him to, you know, tell that story?
Well, I think I defer to the officer who's actually there.
Yeah, like I said, my name is Anthony Zoller. I work for the Neighborhood Response Team at North Precinct. I worked on the 7th of September, detailed to Kelly Point Park. I did not personally hear anybody say that vendors were getting kicked out of the park. I can attest to what I did witness, but I did not hear announcements being made. Granted, the park is fairly large, and I did not hear that announcement. I did not personally hear anybody get kicked out as vendors. I actually personally witnessed people sitting in vendor booths actively smoking marijuana.
Did you see any minors consuming alcohol or marijuana?
I did. I witnessed minors consuming or using marijuana. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sorry, I had to give some instructions there. Okay. We have a section in the agenda here for people who are on the opposite side, who believe that the permit should be denied. If there are individuals who've signed up to testify to that effect, this is their opportunity. So, Carla, do you have anyone signed up on the opposite side here? That is,
we have
opponents
two invited
of the appeal.
Speakers first.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't. I better put my glasses back on. Yes, we do. Actually, we have Brenda Hyatt and Lise Glancy who've been invited to speak, and then we have that opportunity for individuals. So, hi, Brenda.
Mayor Hales and Commissioner Fritz and Commissioners Novick, it's my pleasure to be here today. I'm the executive manager of Doing Better Protective Services, and we were one of the contracted security teams that was at the site. The problem with this event is the organizers, as an overall setup, do not see anything wrong with the behaviors that were happening, so they were doing nothing about it. And when they say they were making announcements from the stage, they made two announcements from the stage, both at my request. Literally, security was handcuffed. We were not allowed. I mean, we did a lot, and every time we ran into a confrontation with Mr. Stanford, we were told that he was the one that signed our checks, and if we continued enforcing, we would be fired. At one point, we stood up to him and flat told him that if he fired us and sent us home, our next stop would be the city, and we would have his permit revoked. There was open smoking on the hill, and no matter how many times we went up there, we could not stop it. There was open smoking in the food area. The organizers themselves were smoking. You had volunteers who were transporting people to and from the bus areas and various areas who were so stoned they could barely walk, but yet they were driving park carts or, you know, those little golf cart thingies. We were totally denied access to the executive area behind the stage. We were allowed at the gate. When I personally was searching bags and things on the path behind that area, I was told I needed to be replaced, and I would not be invited back next year if I continued searching bags and things. This was an ongoing battle throughout the entire 2 days of the event. The other security team that was there was the security team that did not have the licensed DPSST officers, and they were using event staff. They were well within the law that DPSST says is adequate as far as event staff to to license security, but the problem was is that the permit said all security had to be licensed. We witnessed blanket vendors who did not have previous permits, and they were openly selling bags of marijuana or medibles. I can't tell you how many medibles we disposed of, how many bags of marijuana we disposed of by flushing or getting rid of during the event. And anytime we ran, now one of the event organizers supported us as much as possible, Mr. Michael. He supported us as much as possible, but his hands were tied because every time we would tell a booth organizer to quit selling medibles and things, their head of security that they said would come up behind us and tell them it was okay, until we finally got to the point where we told them, if we talk to you three times, you're out of here. We will shut down your booth. And I mean, we had to take this stand in order to preserve our integrity as a security company. I'm sure you have my report, because I know it's part of the after market report. But it was a never-ending battle. And my suggestion was, if by somehow you manage to issue this permit again, which I hope you don't, but if you do, my suggestion would be is that the security team be paid for by the event organizers, but the security team be completely autonomous of the event organizers and possibly have someone to answer to the city so that their hands are not tied to enforce the laws. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Hyatt, does your company staff other big events and do gate checks?
Yes, we do. I have not done any at the parks, but for instance, we do Comic-Con, and we do several huge events like that at the convention center and things where we don't allow weapons, we don't allow marijuana, we don't allow alcohol, we don't allow any of that kind of stuff, and we do it very successfully.
So would you say it's routine in the security business to do bag checks when people are going into large events?
Absolutely. You can't even get into an event at the convention center or at the Rose Garden or anywhere else without doing bag checks.
Thank you.
Please, welcome.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name is Lise Clancy. I'm the Government Relations Manager for the Port of Portland, and we are the adjacent landowner with the ports, Marine Terminals 5 and 6, as well as the Rivergate Industrial Area. And my purpose today in testifying is to share our experience with the festival and coordination with the Police Bureau that may be germane to this permit denial. For the past 3 years, Hempstock has been at Kelly Point Park, again, which is adjacent to our facilities, the 24/7 facilities. Over the past 2 years, the port has worked with the City of Portland Parks Bureau, Bureau of Transportation, and Police Bureau to mitigate Hempstock Festival impacts to the marine terminals and adjacent businesses. We've contracted for a towing company to remove vehicles on port property, some left abandoned and sunk in the sandy lots. We've hired additional security for a weekend shift. We paid for a landscape repair and cleanup. Cars have driven over property. Invest in a fair bit of staff time and resources not unlike that documented by the city. Despite the ports and city's efforts to mitigate Hempstock Festival impacts, the festival has outgrown certainly Kelly Point Park. It has failed to fulfill city port permit requirements, and full recovery for impacts and associated liability to the city and others has not occurred. In 2012, as you heard, there were over 30,000 folks at Kelly Point Park, which is a little bit remote. Festival parking and collection of parking fees that occurred in 2012 on Marine Drive right-of-way was in clear violation of the Portland Bureau of Transportation permit application. Parking blocked safe access to Terminal 6 and Rivergate, resulting in damaging landscaping and resulting in significant trash throughout the area. While the Police Bureau issued over 150 citations for parking violations, which required police overtime, it took 4 to 6 hours for two trucks to get through the congestion, causing life, safety, and access concerns to the industrial area, not to mention the festival goers. Despite additional permit requirements in 2013, and we really appreciated the city working with us to address business concerns, and as you said, should the city consider a permit, I think fundamentally it's important to have the autonomous security, but also have the engagement of businesses that might be impacted by the festival spillover. So in 2013, there were 80,000 attendees, and despite all the extra controls, they just weren't adequate. We had, again, the same issues. The transportation access did improve with the shuttles and the reader boards, but several hundred cars were parked on port property. Over 55 cars were cited. This is in addition to the city's efforts to control for towing. And the spillover from the event began Friday and ended late afternoon on Monday. And we have photos to document as well. And none of those costs were recoverable. In closing, the port's experience with the Hempstocks Festival was consistent with the city's report provided in the permit denial. We had one other tenant who wanted to offer comments but was unable to come, so I've entered that into the rest record. Thank you very much for the opportunity to testify.
Thank you.
Thank you for your time being here today.
Okay, now are there any individuals signed up? There are some individuals signed up. Okay. In opposition to the permit or in opposition to the appeal?
We have four people signed up. First three, please come on up. P.J. Mulcahy, C.R. Williams, and Barry Joe Stoll.
Come on up. One more?
We're missing somebody?
How about Eric Lotz?
He's going to pass.
Eric okay. Lotz, can come on up.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. My name is P.J. Mulcahy. I live in southeast Portland. I have a background in law enforcement. I'm currently a coordinator for a wellness doctor in town. In this interesting discussion, seeing this groups together, I see a divisive group here. And I'd like to mention with my health background that alcohol, marijuana, all drugs are harmful. Okay, so we can get that straight. They're all harmful. And on that basis, in my law enforcement side, the only decision to make here on this permit is it's not a legal activity. Unless marijuana is a legal product that you can produce legally under the law, you shouldn't have a permit to encourage the use of it in this community. And I hope that makes sense because I see the results of drug use. It's horrible. These old gray hairs are 71 years, and I've seen it happen, and it's getting worse. My heart goes out for these people that have to have that lift and that addiction to it. And they do. I understand it. And God help us that we can all get together, be responsible, and take care of this problem, and enact a law that says, hey, it's a legal opportunity for recreational, at that point, it's not that point right now. For that reason, it should not be occupy the time to promote this drug.
Thank you. Mr. Stahl, go ahead.
Good afternoon, Council. My name is Barry Joe Stahl. I started working on cannabis legalization here in Oregon in 1982. The first event that you could track down that I presented would be at the State Capitol steps, 4th of July, 1988, which was on the July 5th front cover of the, or front page of the Statesman Journal. My first trip to Lewis and Clark College, if I'm not mistaken, was to be on a panel for an event up there. I'd made my first trip to the Library of Congress doing research on the history of cannabis, and I did forward a lot of that material to Carla by email prior to today's hearing. The event up at Lewis and Clark College was sponsored by a gentleman, Harvard Law grad, Steve Orgel. And he had a company here in Portland. And he brought an action in 1995, 95060951 against Paul Standard for civil fraud. And they negotiated a settlement, and that was breached, so he brought action 95070-4596 against Paul Stanford for breaching that contract. And there was a judgment entered in August 20th, 1996 for $24,465.20 against Mr. Stanford. And that was renewed because it hadn't been paid. On August 2nd, 2006. Now, we're talking about the person that did the hemp stock for a number of years by then had never paid the outstanding judgment, which was a result of his fraud. My problem here is that I know that cannabis is the most important agricultural product in the history of our species. And I know that the problems we have with the ideas that the laws, I know that they're based on fraud. And I know that when I go down to the law library like I did and I find Bruce Mulcahy versus Douglas Paul Stanford, judgment against CRRH for $28,950. That's the applicant here for this permit. That was from 2003. That was case number 03054796. And Mr. Stanford had a judgment for $38,950 against him. I'm not convinced that any of these things were paid. DNF Music versus Hempstead, Douglas Paul Stanford from August 1st, 2013, a garnishment for $21,392.44. Now, are we going to believe, and we've certainly seen the folks here have some issues with being polite and honorable and understanding and respectful, and I'm one of them. I don't think that I should endure catcalls. I don't think you should endure insults, president of the council as you are. And I'm suggesting that the decision of the Parks Bureau was absolutely right. Now, I do want to suggest that if Commissioner Fritz hosted a hemp event, there would be 100,000 people attending it because that's what people want to do. I just don't think we should have the worst elements of our society representing the most important agricultural product in the history of our society. Thank you.
Thank you. Go ahead, Charles.
Good morning, Commissioners, Madam President of the Council. Unfortunately, we have a conflation of huge issues here, but I think we should focus primarily on the biggest number we've heard, in that 80,000 of our friends and neighbors want to get together for a little while and feel positive about something that enhances their lives. And the only real issue here is, can we extort enough money out of them to cover the public safety expenses? The city should just resolve to love its residents enough to let this event happen. Permitting it is somewhat, I realize there has to be public safety. There's no public safety risk. There's going to be people doing illegal drugs far away from this park. There's going to be overdoses and suicides going on during this day. This is not some damaging thing. It's 80,000 positive people getting together. So there are problems when we have these big crowds. I'm not thrilled when I find the parks right in front of this place fenced off for a marathon or whatever. But regardless of the 37 pages of documents that were generated on the PDF for this thing, the main thing is that we expect the government to assist us in both our constitutionally protected free speech, because many of us are going to be talking about changing the laws to be more reflective of what's just natural and fair in our society here. And there's plenty of orgiastic excessive events that you feel that cover their expenses. And if people see this as an event like that, you should, instead of denying the permit, work harder on getting a resolution that allows so many of your friends and neighbors to be together around a recognized positive medical substance in this state. Thank you all.
Okay, one more person, and then we're going to get the appellant back.
I just wanted to be on behalf of you guys.
Sit down and put your
sit
name
down. Just give us your name.
I wasn't opposing it, but since I put my name on the paper, my name is Eric Leutz, and I'd like to get you guys to feel compassion, empathize with where we're at as a species on this planet, because the oldest, longest-lasting tribes and cultures throughout history all had hemp in it and cannabis, however they want to demonize it. What I would like to do is get all of you guys involved in the decision-making, have you guys be a part of what we're doing here, and have your guys' input, because what we're trying to do is get everyone, not all these people just to party and have a good time. We want you guys to have your input heard, because if you guys care about every single thing I'm wearing right here, it's made out of hemp. We want your guys' kids, your guys' grandkids, everyone to have all the nutrition, not all the GMO stuff. We want to get fluoride out of the water like we did everywhere. We want everyone to know what's going on with the bureaucracy so that we're not overwhelmed with so much that we can't even take on this concept that's such a no-brainer, where we should be able to have the fuel, the fiber, all the stuff we need. Medicine is to each his own. They're poisoning people openly right in front at McDonald's with all the GMOs they put silicone in chicken McNuggets, and there's nothing being done about it. So it's to each his own on what you guys agree with, but we'd like to get your guys' input, have you guys be involved. If you guys knew what you guys were getting involved with, you guys are going to be making history just being involved in a way where we're working together. And having your guys' taken, I think it's going to be that much better. So I'm inviting you guys to take part in caring about hemp in a way where we get excited about it and say, hey, how can we make this enjoyable for your guys' family, which if they got involved and everyone in your family knew about the benefits of hemp, they'd be out there telling everyone they knew, and then eventually it wouldn't be a big deal. So we need to get you guys on our team, and it's regardless of signing this permit or whatever, we need you guys caring about it so that we can get your guys' voice in the mix of it all, because your guys' voice will make an impact for everyone, for my kids, and I'm not even going to want to have kids until I have people like you standing up for me, because I feel kind of hopeless if you guys don't see that your guys' voice is going to affect the future generations. And so I'm counting on you guys to make the right decision. And it's beyond this. It's like you guys are voting with your dollar, and your dollar is getting spent in ways that you don't want to probably even have it spent, when your taxpayer dollars get spent for wars and things you don't want. But this is a war we're fighting on the ground here, and we actually have a say in it, and it's not over our head. So if we can actually fight it and put our name down and sign on something that we feel good about, it will be remembered in history. And I'm counting on you, because I had attended this event like 3 times. I've had booths there, and I didn't pay for a slot to have a booth because it cost too much. I paid for a little blanket thing to educate people about hemp, and I was super stoked to have this event be possible, because it inspired me to put forth my mission into the world. And if it wasn't for this kind of event, I would have never been as encouraged to be involved in as much, and I want to do everything I can to protect your guys' family. And I'm going to be sad if this thing isn't going to be available for me to recommend people to go to. And sure, we need to watch after people, but what we should really be concerned about is people are getting poisoned right and left, right in front of us with legal things, and we're all worried about these little things. We should be concerned about protecting and being safe, but there's no way you can control and monitor every single thing that people put into their body. So we need to not be concerned about it as much as trying to protect and be safe and have the people that, if there was cops there, they should be doing the job. They said they didn't want to get involved in monitoring people that are doing stuff. They can go up in and talk to people and say, you're not supposed to do that, and they can do their job as police officers. If they're being paid to be there, they should do something about it. They shouldn't act like, oh, we don't want to say anything, we don't want to do anything. And if they're there and they're doing something, there's not enough, we'll go get more people. Guess what? I'd rather my taxpaying money go towards having it be run in an ethical way, rather than them trying to, let's go through everyone's stuff and touch everyone. And like at the airports, they make me get touched, and I say, I don't want to go through the x-ray machine. You know what they say to me? They're like, well, you have to go get frisked, and you're going to go get your pat down. And then this guy that has a little kid under 12 gets to walk right through the metal detector. And I'm like, that's prejudice, because just because he has a young kid. So they're trying to just like get us all, we need to come together on this. And I'd like to get you guys to just take a stand. And this is a chance for you guys to put your voice on the side of freedom, which is hemp is not for everyone, but it should be, because if you guys don't know about it, you're missing out. So we need you guys to help spread the good news, because we're counting on you guys for the future of our
thank you.
Thanks for everything.
Okay. Hi, welcome.
Hi, my name is David. I'm the account service manager for Doing Better Protective Services. As a small business in the state of Oregon, it's mandatory that our clients, you know, pay us and help us grow. We take clients to help grow. We take it to help form the community and bring more jobs and environment to the community. One of the things I want to touch base on, the gentleman that was up before this guy, is he mentioned about a bunch of judgments against Paul Stanford. After multiple attempts after Hempstock 2013, ourselves had to go to the Multnomah County Courts and get a judgment against Paul Stanford, case number 13001784-65, for the payment of Hempstock, because they have yet to pay the small business that was not only mandated by the city for their permit to have security there, but for us to help protect their event and protect their right to get their permit next year. They have not done that as of yet. So that's what I wanted to add.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
I just want to note for doing better protective services that it takes courage to come to a meeting like this and to talk about some of the issues that you encountered, and I appreciate that you are an honest business in the city of Portland.
Okay. Let's ask the appellant team to come back up because you have an opportunity for some rebuttal and probably some questions from the council. So come on back up, please.
I wanted to start off by apologizing to Commissioner Fritz that things were out of order, and that's an embarrassment to me. This is like my first time really kind of getting involved being a lawyer, and it was crazy.
Thank you, but I've been doing it for 5 years, and that's really not unusual. So.
Okay, well, sorry to say it's not unusual. It's not always directed at her either.
I appreciate like, for making that point clear. I appreciate it a lot.
So I wanted to thank you guys for giving us the chance to hear this appeal. This isn't about Paul Stanford, the individual. This is about Hempstock and a permanent event. And I mean, what are we really talking about here? There's people on our side going off to who knows where, and people on the other side talking about things like, you know, there was a life flight a few years ago, and that really shows how bad of a risk Hempstock is to public safety. The life flight was for Jack Herrer, who's a world-famous cannabis and hemp activist. He wrote The Emperor Wears No Clothes. It's a pretty famous book in the circle, Hempstock and that sort of thing, the movement to legalize, so to speak. And he passed away a couple years ago, right, Paul? And he was a speaker that year. And beyond that, I'm not aware of any deaths. And
he had a stroke. It wasn't an overdose.
And I think that the police are arguing that the law was being violated and that there was all this, you know, illegal marijuana-related behavior, and they're couching it in terms of public safety. Does public safety mean law enforcement or enforcement of the law, or does it mean people getting hurt or people dying or people having an emergency situation? And I think if we were given some sort of objective metric or criteria to look at relative harm of permanent events in public parks, and we compare and contrast things that are related to parks and not a closed convention center, but, you know, a free speech event at a park open to the public, that we would, or, you know, a paid event or whatever, you would look at, if we could have access to these special event reports in time for the meeting today, we'd be able to tell you, you know, there was this many fights or there was this many, you know, broken bones or people that had to go to the hospital or deaths or overdoses. And what we have is police saying, yeah, it wasn't really that bad, but it was, though. And that's talking out of both sides of your mouth. And, you know, I saw a picture that I would have submitted if I didn't think that we were going to get the procedural postponement that I thought we were going to get, so I could do some research to prepare and we as a team could go over everything together and have that sort of fairness that would allow us to have a fair shot at providing our side of the story instead of just kind of scrambling. I have a picture of that police officer right here, okay, hanging out with the wrestlers, just chilling. And for the record, I guess.
4 to 6 hours that day watching wrestling.
Okay, thank you.
I'm not sure what the purpose of doing this is.
I guess the point is that it was a pretty relaxed.
The police spent a lot of time watching the wrestling.
So if, in order to target your comments, the issue is about compliance with the permit. It's not comparing this event with others. It's about whether you did what you said you were going to do in complying with the permit.
Mm-hmm. All right. And we just would like to be able to see if we violated the permit so egregiously compared to anybody else. And we have not had that opportunity prior to today. And that's for us, the stuff that's left unanswered.
Other things that you've heard? I mean, I realize you want more time than this to respond, but other things that you've heard today that you particularly want to respond to?
I would just like to say that we are very interested in working together with the city to get this permit, and we would like to get a location on waterfront which we think would completely take care of a lot of the issues. The Port of Portland, the parking issues on Marine Drive, it's because we're talking about a peninsula. It's a bottleneck. We're not talking about a park that's more open and right in the heart of town on the water where we could close.